This morning, we're going to continue our series, working through our mission statement, and we're on the second phase of this. And the first phase was loving Jesus, and we learned about how we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then we also learned of Jesus' command and how we need to love one another sacrificially as Jesus loved us. Last week, we began a second phase in this mission statement, growing together, and we saw what it really meant to grow together as a body of Christ and to be interconnected with one another. This morning, I want to challenge us all individually and all of us, to challenge all of us to grow individually in Christ. If we're going to grow together, it truly does speak to focus, and the word focus is defined as a central point as of an attraction, an attention, or an activity. And our focus on whatever it is will attract our attention. It will attract our focus and our activities. But I begin with a story here. The source of this story is unknown, so I can't tell you if it's a true story or if it's a fiction story. But I open with a story. A lighthouse along a bleak coast was tended by a keeper who was given enough oil for 1 month. And this keeper of the lighthouse was told to keep the light burning every night. One day, a woman asked for some oil so that her children could stay warm. Then a farmer came. His son needed oil for a lamp so he could read. Still another needed some for an engine. And the lighthouse keeper saw each as a worthy request, and he measured out just enough oil to satisfy everyone. Near the end of the month, the tank in the lighthouse ran dry, and that night the beacon was dark, and 3 ships crashed on the rocks, and more than 100 lives were lost. When a government official investigated, the man explained what he had done and why he did it, and the government official replied to him. He said, "You were given one task and one task alone. It was to keep the light burning, and everything else was secondary. There is no defense." You know, in our lives, there are many things that clamor for our attention. There's many things that clamor for our focus and for our time, our talents, our efforts, our resources. And just, friends, just because we can do something doesn't necessarily mean that we should. This morning, we're going to find our text in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. And so just know that as we begin to focus in on what God wants us to focus in on, it must be upon Him and upon Christ. And let us begin to see that. So if you have your Bibles open, follow along as I read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, our world clamors about production. It clamors about results. Having worked in 16 years in the sales industry, it was all about numbers. And we had these screens, numbers, 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 numbers. And I would get constant calls from my district manager, and they would go like this: "How are your numbers this month? What do you have in the hopper? meaning what do you have in the pipeline for the numbers? And everything is so focused on results that, friends, many times we take the results that this world just clamors that we are so focused upon, and we apply that to our Christian walk. And the secret of this passage is this. If we have our focus in the proper perspective, in the proper place, God will take care of the results. God will take care of the fruit. And we're told that in verse 8 when he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful." And so as we begin to look at this passage, know this. Know that if the temptation is there to focus on the results, we're misfocused. We need to focus on the proper things. There's three things that we can learn from this passage, and the first is to focus upon what God has given to us. In verse 3, Peter writes, he says, "As his divine power has given to us all things." And if you have your own Bible, I would just challenge you to take out a pen and underline "all things." It doesn't say that God has given us some things, that God has given us partial things. No, it says that by God's divine power, he has, and has is in the past tense, and he's given to you and to me all things, everything that is needed, and then he qualifies what it's needed for, that pertain to life and godliness. So you and I, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the scripture speaks of two different types of life. The first is the bios, and we get biology from that word. And that's the study of the created thing, the created order. This is not what Peter's talking about. The second type of life that the scripture speaks of is the Zoe life. And friends, this is the God life. It's the unquenchable, indestructible, indescribable, inscrutable, and undeniable life provided only by Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so you might ask, well, how do I get that life? How do I get the Zoe life? How do I get the God life, the Christ life? Colossians 3, verse 4, we are told that Christ is your and my life. Jesus is our Zoe. Jesus is our life. And so our focus needs to be upon what God has given to you and to me. And he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how often do we all play the what if game? What if I had a better job? What if I had a different house? What if I had a different car? What if I had lived in a different area? And don't get me wrong, I play that game sometimes too. We're all the same. And we focus on the wrong things. We focus on what we don't have instead of focusing in upon what God has given to you and to me. And he's given us all things that pertain, that deal with life and godliness. And so the temptation is to focus away from that. We need to focus on what God has given to us, namely Christ. And that is our life. Jesus is your God life. He is my God life. And how do we really grow? How do we grow in our life with God and our godliness? The end of that verse, Peter says that through the knowledge of him, and that's another key phrase, the emphasis here is upon the knowledge of God, and it does not mean a mere intellectual knowledge or understanding of some truth. Many times in Bible studies and classes and Sunday school, we focus on a list of do's and don'ts. We focus in on this mind frame of, I know this, I've read this book, I've talked with umpteen different people, and they say, I've been through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you know, half a dozen times. That's great. This is not what Peter's talking about. He's talking about a living participation in the truth. Meaning, if you internalize, if you truly know God, if you are truly communing with Christ each and every day, you are participating in the truth. Jesus said it this way in John 17, verse 3. He said, "And this is eternal life." This is eternal Zoe. Hear that. "That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And this is the knowledge, the living experience with God, the living participation with God, the focus upon truly knowing and experiencing God. Jonathan Wesley said it this way, and he's the founder of the Methodist movement. And he says, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior. meaning I don't just want part of Jesus. I want the whole Christ for my Savior, and I don't want to just stop there. I want the whole Bible for my book, and the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. And many times we say, Jesus, I only want part of you. Jesus, I only want this part of you, and you can have this part of me. And we don't want the whole Christ. And so our focus has to be upon what God has given to us. The second thing our focus has to be upon is upon what we are participating. Verse 4, Peter tells us, he says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Friends, the Bible is full, chocked full of promises that God has for you and for me, and these promises will come to fruition. They are promises that He wants for your life and my life, and that through these promises, you and I may be partakers of the divine nature. If you have your pen out and you're looking at your Bible, I would circle that word may, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because that's in the subjunctive tense in the original text. And what that means is in the realm of possibility that you and I determine how much we are partakers in the divine nature. We can shut it down. We can stop it. And even though we are focusing in upon Christ, we can say, I only want part of you, Jesus. You get out of that area of my life. And we need to focus upon what we are participating. And you circle that word may, and you should have the heart of Jonathan Wesley that says, I want the whole Christ for my Savior. So we are to be partakers of the divine nature. And then he finishes that verse, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, children have the same nature as their parents because they're born from their parents. So you might ask, what is the divine nature? The divine nature is God in us. John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus said this. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We're told in John 1, 12 and 13, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To truly be born spiritually is to truly have the Holy Spirit abide and seal you deep within your heart and your soul. And the divine nature is to have God in you and in me. There's two options or natures that we can partake in. This verse includes both of them. And the first is the divine nature or the God nature. And the second is the corruption of this world. And this world will try to focus you in and funnel you in into the mold. And it's easy to go that route. But to partake in the divine nature, and when we focus upon what we are participating, we need to realize that our nature, friends, will determine our appetite. Later on in this book, in this letter that Peter wrote, he tells about the pig yearning for slop and the dog returning to its own vomit. And why? Because their nature determines their appetite, what they want. And yet we are told in Scripture that the sheep, and Scripture calls Christians sheep. You and I are sheep of the Good Shepherd, of Jesus. We should yearn for green pastures. We don't want to yearn for the slop of this world or for the vomit of what this world has to offer. So our nature determines our appetite. And this is where this might be getting a little rough, but when we assess our life, what are we drawn to? Are we drawn to the things of God, or are we drawn to the things of the world? Our nature will determine our behavior. The eagle flies because it has an eagle's nature. It can fly. The dolphin swims because it has the nature of a dolphin, and yet the sheep have the nature to follow the shepherd. Is your heart's desire to follow Christ and only Christ, or is your heart's desire to do what you want and to go where you want? And that will be a telltale sign of what nature you are participating in. Our nature determines our environment. The squirrel climbs in trees, and the mole burrows underground, and the trout swim in water. And the sheep should be amongst other sheep within the flock of God. Our environment. Are we disassociating from other believers and other Christians, or are we seeking to surround ourselves with other believers? and other Christians who will exhort and lead us to go deeper with God. Our nature determines our association. Lions travel with other lions in prides. Fish swim in schools with other fish, and sheep travel in flocks. So our nature, we can begin to focus upon what we are participating in. And when we see that maybe we're not participating in what we should, we can begin to adjust. We can begin to change. Some years ago, out of Daily Bread, someone calculated how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. And here's the estimate. Sleep, 23 years. So 23 years out of your 70-year life has spent sleeping. Work, 16 years. Television, 8 years. Eating, 6 years. Travel to and from work and other things, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. Dressing, and yes, getting ready. And for some of us, it takes us longer than others. And for others, they can get out in 15 minutes. 2 years getting ready, getting up and out the door. Notice the next one. Faith, 0.5 years. The focus of what people are participating in, what you and I are so easily consumed by. It's so easy to turn on the television at night. And what are we participating in? We're participating in and programming our mind, programming our thoughts, and programming our behaviors. And some of us, we don't just have 8 years or 11.4% of our lifespan spent in front of a box, but we have maybe 20 years. Because friends, I used to watch a lot of TV. That's the truth. And so our focus, what are we participating in? What are we generating deep within our soul? And the third thing that we need to focus upon is upon what we are adding to our life. We're told in verses 5, 6, and 7, Peter writes this, and he says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." In her book, Dorothy Haskins, the book titled A Practical Guide to Prayer, she tells about a noted concert violinist who at one time was asked the secret of her mastery of the instrument. And this violinist responded to the question with two words, and she said this. She said, "I have mastered the violin by planned neglect." And then she went on to explain, and she said, "There are many things that used to demand my time. When I went to my room after breakfast, I made my bed, straightened the room, dusted, and did whatever seemed necessary. When I finished my work, I turned to my violin practice. That system prevented me from accomplishing what I should on the violin, so I reversed things. I deliberately planned to neglect everything else until my practice period was complete. And that program of planned neglect is the secret of my success." Now, I'm not advocating that we just disregard and neglect the daily duties of life. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is from that story about a violinist who mastered her instrument because she was intentionally focused on that one thing, and she reorganized her entire life around that. And that's our focus. It has to be. We must be focused upon what we're adding to our life. And we find this catalog of virtues here in verses 5, 6, and 7. And we're told that we are to add to our faith virtue. And this literally means moral excellence. And you'll notice with me that it starts deep within our soul and it's going to move outward. Because friends, the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth. And what comes out the mouth will become action. And what becomes action will become behaviors. And what becomes behaviors will become a lifestyle. And this is what Peter's talking about. He's saying, hey, start small and start by adding to your faith moral excellence. And then to virtue, add knowledge or add the divine truth, the experiential participation with God throughout each and every day of life. And then to knowledge, add self-control. the original text. It literally means to hold oneself in. So self-control is denying oneself and wanting what God would want. To self-control, add perseverance, patience, endurance in doing what is right. And how often do we focus in on these virtues? And in all reality, we need to start focusing in on what God has given to you and to me. And He's given us all that we need. We don't need to focus on patience or endurance. We need to focus on what God has given to us, Christ and Christ crucified. And then we need to focus in on what we're participating in. Are we participating in the world, or are we participating in the divine nature? And friends, then these things will come along at God's pace, and it will happen. And we add to perseverance godliness, and that's a true worship, and one who properly honors and adores God. And then to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And that's our vertical love for God will stem a love for people. And then to brotherly kindness, we add love. And that's a sacrificial, selfless love of the will. And many times we look and we say, I need to love more. We're going to be defeated because we haven't exercised the divine nature in our heart, in our soul, enough to get to have the heart of Christ so that we can exemplify and reflect the sacrificial love of Christ. Why do we feed babies formula? Because they can't digest anything more. And yet Christians, we want to be stalwarts of the faith, and yet we don't want to pay the price because we dismiss focusing in on what God has given to us, and we dismiss what we're participating in, and we focus in on the results. And if you'll notice, the results and where the focus, it wasn't to place upon the results. The promises of God will be to produce fruit in and through all of us if we focus upon growing in Christ and growing together. And I remind you of the result in verse 8. Peter says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's taking care of the results. God's taking care of all that needs to happen. What we need to do is we need to focus on what God has given to us and allow Him to grow our hearts, to focus on what we are participating in and to participate in the divine nature. And yes, we need to participate in allowing the Holy Spirit to add virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love to our faith so that we truly can reflect Christ. So the challenge for all of us this morning is, what are we focusing on? And I'll give you a closing story. A lighthouse along a bleak coast was tended by a keeper who was given enough oil for 1 month, and he was told to keep the light burning every night. One day, a woman asked for oil so that her children could stay warm. Then a farmer came. His son needed oil for a lamp so he could read. Still another needed some for an engine. The keeper saw each as a worthy request and measured out just enough oil to satisfy everyone. Near the end of the month, the tank in the lighthouse ran dry. That night, the beacon was dark and 3 ships crashed on the rocks. More than 100 lives were lost. When a government official investigated, the man explained what he had done and why he had done it. The government official responded and said, "You were given one task and one task alone, and that was to keep the light burning. Everything else was secondary." Friends, God's given us one task and one task alone. And that's to focus on what God has given to you and to me. And He's given us all that we need in Christ and Christ alone. May we quit striving to strive after things that only God can produce in our life. May we quit and cease striving to do what only God can do through us. And may we focus upon what we are participating in. And if it's the world, may we partner with God and cease. If we're participating in the divine nature, may we freely give God the free reign and freedom to change and transform us all. And may we truly be the lighthouse in this community and to the surrounding areas of the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your challenge, and it's a challenge to us all. Jesus, I pray that you would give us the courage and give us the boldness to focus upon what you have blessed us with and not to focus on the things that we may or may not have. Father, I pray that you would allow us to see courageously and boldly in what we are participating in, and if it's not right or pleasing to you, to give us the courage and the strength to stop. Father, may we all participate in the divine nature in you working and living in us. And Jesus, may we allow you to produce the fruit that you want to produce in our lives and through our lives, to ultimately bring you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And so, Father, we thank you and we love you because we truly understand you've done it all. And all we need to do is live in you and abide in you and to cease striving. So, Father, we thank you and we love you and we praise you and honor you. In the blessed name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.